about smack dab in the middle of the Bible, the longest chapter in the Bible, and a chapter about the Bible. All right? It just seems like when God wanted to emphasize something and put it right in the middle of His book and make it the longest chapter, He decided to talk about His Word. And so that's what we're going to look at tonight. We've been going through the book of Psalms, of course, for quite a long time. And we've only been going through the book of through chapter 119, breaking it down into sections, and we arrive at verse 25. We'll read down through verse number 32. And if it sounds familiar, it's because we read it last Wednesday, and they got no farther than the introduction and didn't get into the message itself. So we'll see if we can just skip the introduction tonight and start right with the message of these verses. So verse number 25 in Psalm 119, the Bible says, "My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts, so shall I talk of thy wondrous works. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. Remove from me the way of lying, and grant me thy law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck unto thy testimonies. O Lord, put me not to shame. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart." Let's go to the Lord together in prayer tonight. Father, again, we do thank you for the privilege that is ours to meet together in this place. Father, we don't take that privilege lightly or for granted. We appreciate, God, your comfort, the things that you've provided for us, that we can meet here freely and in comfort. Father, we pray most of all that as we do these things, that, Lord, you would just impress upon our hearts the greatness and the importance of your word in our life. And Father, we can never overvalue the Bible. Father, we need it. It is, as Job said, more necessary than our daily food. And Father, we need it in our lives. Help us as we read the psalmist's words tonight to understand what he said about the word. Help us as we notice the ladder of progression that he makes in these eight verses. Father, help us to give ourselves to the Word of God that we might receive it, and Father, it might change our lives and make us a peculiar people. Bless your Word to each and every Christian here tonight. Father, may its truth just penetrate our hearts. We ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As we come to this fourth section of Psalm 119, again, every section, there are 22 sections in this psalm. All of them are given a heading according to the Hebrew alphabet. And so that Aleph it began with would be the equivalent of our letter A, Beth, of course, letter B, Gimel, letter C. And then we come to Daleth, which would be the equivalent of our letter D. The fourth section, all these verses, again, 176 verses in this chapter, all of them are about the Bible. There are only two where reference is not made to the Bible out of 176. And so God is trying to emphasize something for us. Notice the words in these eight verses. Seven different words are used in these eight verses to describe God's Word. It says in verse 25, the end of the verse, "Quicken thou me according to thy Word." All right, thy Word. The end of verse 26, "Teach me thy statutes." We'll talk about the difference tonight between statutes and Word. So he said, "Teach me thy statutes." The middle of verse 27, "Make me to understand the way of thy precepts." All right, again, talking about the Word of God. Verse number 28, the end of the word. He used the first one. He used it at the end of verse 25. "Strengthen thou me according to thy word." Verse number 29, "Grant me thy law graciously." That law, reference again to the word of God. Verse number 30, "I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me." Judgments is a reference to the word of God. We read about God's judgments. We read about his likes and dislikes in the Bible. Verse 31, "I have stuck unto thy testimonies," a direct reference again to the Bible, to the Word of God. And verse 32, "I will run the way of thy commandments." And so in these eight verses, seven different terms used to describe the Word of God. What the psalmist is doing, I believe, in these verses is giving us a ladder of progression about how God uses his Word in the life of a believer. We'll start with verse 25, and we'll take each rung of the ladder as we go up and see how when we begin to get into the Word of God, how the Word of God begins to work with us. When we start to read the Bible, it's not the same as we've been reading it for a year.
Erin was talking on the way this morning. She's getting at 6 years old, starting to read her Bible, and she said, "Daddy, I read three verses every time I remember." I said, "Well, you sound like an older Christian now. I read three verses every time I remember." I said, "Well, that's a good start. That's good." She said, "I read three verses and my eyes get tired." And I said, "Well," I said, "how is that? Because you can sit and watch Little House on the Prairie on the computer for hours." She said, "I don't know why that happens." But all of us need to read the Word of God daily. If we're followers of Jesus Christ, if we're believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, how do we survive without communication with Him? And prayer is an avenue of us communicating to God, but the Bible is how God communicates to us. And when we leave the Bible closed and leave it shut for even 24 hours, we're going without God speaking to us. We need the Bible daily. And the psalmist here gives us that progression, I believe, in these eight verses. I want you to notice that we're going to look at that seven, I call this seven requests of David concerning the Word. Seven requests of David concerning the Word. And we're going to find two-word phrases. Seven two-word phrases in these verses that David says something about the Word of God, and we're going to see how they progress as we move through them. Notice, if you would, we start in verse 26. "My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word." Now, what I've underlined in my Bible is the two words, "quicken me." Quicken me. Now, I know the thou is in the middle, but the two-word phrase is "quicken me." David said, "My soul cleaveth unto the dust." Now, I believe David wrote Psalm, so if I keep saying David wrote Psalm 119, you'll understand that I'm making reference to it. But I believe that at this time, as David is writing verse number 25, I don't know what he's going through in his life personally, but I know by experience he's probably going through a time of despair, a time of discouragement, maybe a time of distress, a time of defeat, a time of depression. Something has got David down. He says, "My soul cleaveth unto the dust." Now, maybe you've never been there. Maybe you've never been distressed, discouraged, in despair. But I think all of us have at one time or another. And can I tell you what the best pick-me-up is at a time like that? Say, "I got to get my caffeine." Now, you need the caffeine that comes from the Word of God. When you and I get discouraged and distressed and all these other kind of things, the best thing we can do is go to the Word of God. It is a good picker-upper. Especially the book of Psalms. If you're going through, I've talked to so many Christians that have been through difficult times in their life, and they always tell me, "The book of Psalms meant so much to me when I was going through this thing or that thing." And David says, when his soul was cleaving to the dust, he asked God to quicken him according to to His Word. Quicken me. This is one of nine times in the book of Psalms that David asked God to quicken him. Notice if you would, nine times, I mean just in this, just in Psalm 119. Look at verse 40. "Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me." David says, "Quicken me in thy righteousness." Verse 37. Verse 37, "Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way." Verse 88, we're not going to look at all of them, but verse number 88, just so you see that David repeats this request. In verse 88, "Quicken me after thy loving kindness." And there are several more references. There are nine times in Psalms where David makes this request to God, "Quicken me." The word "quicken" means to give life. The Bible says in Ephesians 2, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." When you got saved, you passed from death to life. You were quickened. You were made alive. Spiritually, you were dead. You were a skeleton walking about, but spiritually dead inside. And when you got saved, God pumped life inside of there. Just like He breathed into Adam the breath of life, when you and I trust Christ as our Savior, we become a living soul. We become alive. But there are times after our Christian life that though we're alive, sometimes we need some excitement. We need some instant shot of something. And David tells us that when he got down like that, what he needed was to be quickened by the Word of God. Notice, if you would, verse number 50. This is not, it's the same word, but in a different sense. Notice verse 50. "This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me." Thy word hath quickened me. It's made me alive. It's given me hope. It's given me joy. It's given me a positive outlook. The word of God will do that for you. Look at verse number 93 also. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them, with his precepts, thou hast quickened me. Now again, I'm not a medical doctor and I'm not telling you to forsake other things, but I'm telling you this, spiritually, when you get down, there's nothing like the Word of God. Turning on Comedy Central or whatever's on television to try to pick your spirits up, that ain't going to work. But sitting down with the Word of God, it'll just do something to you. And it will bring you back to life and it'll give you an enjoyment of the Word of God. Try it. See what happens is when we get down, the devil discourages us and says, well, you know, things aren't going too good. The last thing in the world you need now is the Bible. And it's the thing we need at that time. And when we start getting into it, all of a sudden we find that the Word of God is able to do something we don't understand. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2, it is quick. There's our word. It is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. So it is able to quicken us. And it can do something that you just can't understand. That when you sit down and begin to read it, it just pumps life into you. It infuses something different. And that's because it is the Word of God. So David said when he was discouraged, he said, quicken thou me according to thy word. Notice then the second two-word phrase he uses in verse number 26. I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me. All right, first of all, he says in verse 25, quicken me. In verse 26, he says, teach me. I believe this is the ladder of progression as we see these seven steps that go through this psalm. There are a lot of people, they want to know what the Bible says. They want to know about prophecy. They want to know about this thing or that thing. Can I tell you that you're not going to understand it until you've been quickened? You can't open the Bible as an academic textbook and try to understand it. I remember as a youngster, I don't know how old I was, junior high age or something, I got in trouble for something. My mother decided to punish me. So she made me sit down in the living room at the table, and there on the big coffee table, as every family has, a big, gigantic family Bible. The only time we used it was to stuff death announcements and all that kind of stuff in. But she said, my punishment was, you're going to sit there and you're going to read that until I tell you to stop. So I sat down and began reading Genesis chapter 1, unsaved teen, you know, that age, you know, and I started reading. Genesis 1 was kind of interesting, at least. Genesis 2, you know, got a little tedious in there. 3, at least at the beginning, the Garden of Eden. But after that, it went all downhill from there. Just didn't mean anything. Well, a few years later, I got saved. And I went back and read those first chapters of Genesis. And I thought, how did I miss this? This stuff is good. There's a lot of stuff in there. You know what the difference is? Having been quickened. Because until we've been quickened, we can't begin to understand the Word of God. We'll talk about that more as we get a little bit into our next step, actually, in verse 27. But the Bible says in verse number 26, teach me. There's no excuse for not knowing the Bible. There's no excuse for not knowing the Bible. And the sad thing is that too many Christians don't know. When some cult comes and knocks on their door, they're scared to death because they don't know how to answer those folks. Man, you ought to be able to give them an answer of the hope that lieth in you. They come and knock on your door and you say, okay, I know Jesus Christ is my Savior. I know I'm going to heaven when I die. What do you got that's better than that? And there's nothing they can say. We need to know what the Bible says. And not only that, but I want you to notice this word in verse 26. Teach me thy statutes. That word appears 132 times in the Bible. All of them in the Old Testament. You know what the word statutes means? I looked it up in the Webster's 1828 dictionary. And the word statute means an act of the legislature of a state that extends its binding force to all the citizens or subjects of that state. In other words, if Ohio makes a statute, Pennsylvanians don't have to obey it. Now, if there's a law, laws affect everybody. Statutes only affect the people that are under that jurisdiction. You know what I love about that word in verse number 26? David is saying, all right, the word of God is applicable to everybody. But then within the Bible, there's something just for me. There's something for the individual believer. There's something for the child of God. And he's saying, teach me that. It's a higher standard. As a Christian, you have a higher standard. Now, see, that's something the Christian people don't want to acknowledge or don't want to remember. Especially in these last days in this church age, people want to be like everybody else. Act like everybody else, dress like everybody else, talk like everybody else. But we have a higher standard to live by. We cannot get away with the things that unsaved people can get away with. Here's an example of this, and this is going to be confusing, and I'm almost tempted to not do this, but you'll understand what I mean. Look over 1 Corinthians chapter 6. A question I hear sometimes a lot from people when you witness to them, unsaved people, they're not really serious about what you're talking about, but they got a question. And as you're talking to them and they're standing at the door of their house or whatever, they'll ask you a question depending on their current condition. Preacher, is it a sin to smoke? Is it a sin to drink? Whatever might be what's on their mind, they'll ask that question. Now, I've got an answer that you might think is not the common answer. Most preachers or most of us would say, when they say, is it a sin to smoke? They say, well, yes, of course it is. You know what my answer to that is? If you're a Christian, it is. You say, why do you say that? Well, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Now, again, I'm not giving a loophole for those that aren't saved. Don't misunderstand me. We'll cover that in just a minute. But I'm saying, for we that are saved, we have a higher standard than the rest of the world does. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, notice verse number 19. What, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own, for you're bought with a price? Therefore glorify your body and your spirit, which are God's. Why do we believe that tobacco or alcohol or illicit drugs, why do we believe those that are wrong? Because your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And you ought not mix those things with something that's holy. But what about a lost person? There's no Holy Ghost inside of them. Those verses don't apply to them. Now again, I'm not saying it's okay for them to do that. I'm not saying it's not a sin. But that's not the sin they need to worry about. If an unsaved person, if you're witnessing and saying, you need to trust Christ, and they've got a can of beer in their hand or back on the table, well, is it a sin to drink? That's not the issue with you right now. Your problem is you are a sinner by nature and by choice, and you need to go get the whole thing forgiven, not just one particular item or one particular thing. But when it comes to the Christians, we have a higher standard. There are things in the Bible that apply to us that don't apply to everybody. The Ten Commandments apply to everybody. Everybody should be subject to those. But those verses in 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, we have a higher standard. That higher standard is called statutes. It's the reason a lot of the skeptics say, well, I don't want to become a Christian because if I become a Christian, somebody else is going to tell me how to live my life. You're right. God is. God's going to tell you how to live your life. But who's telling you now? Now they'll say, well, I do what I want to. Well, that's what you think. But you've got someone inside of you that's directing you and telling you what to do and enabling you to succumb to things that you wouldn't ordinarily succumb to. And so we have a higher standard. And David said, teach me thy statutes. If you want a reference, and we won't take the time to turn there, but write Leviticus chapter 10, verse 11 down. Leviticus chapter 10 and verse 11. And that's where God says to Israel, I gave them my statutes by Moses. See, the statutes were for Israel. They weren't for the Hittites, the Gileadites, the Manassites, and all. They were for Israel themselves. Statutes are for a particular group of people. You and I, and again, I say that word doesn't appear in the New Testament. The word doesn't, but the principle does. And that is that we have a higher standard. Let's go back to Psalm 119. We need to move on. Verse 27. We saw quicken me in verse 25. Teach me in verse 26. Verse 27, the first two words. Make me. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. So shall I talk of all thy wondrous works. Once you're quickened, God begins to teach you. Then he can make you to understand the way of his precepts. You know what God doesn't do? He doesn't cast his pearl before swines. I remember many years ago when I was up in Bible college and up in Massillon, we went out and we were visiting. We had assigned visits to go. And we went to visit some guy that would come to church once a week on Sunday morning for Sunday school, and that was it. And we go to the house that night and we visit with him, and he'd sit down and he would sit there and open his Bible up. He said, his words were, okay, give me some nugget from the Word of God. You know, God only gives nuggets to those who dig. God only gives nuggets to those who are panning for gold. He doesn't give nuggets to the guy that's sitting by the wayside and kind of half-heartedly getting involved in the thing. God reserves His best for those that do the most work. And by work, I mean reading His Word, praying over His Word, studying His Word. And so after David said, quicken me and teach me, then he says in verse 27, turn on the light. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. You want to get something from the Word of God? Nah, I read commentaries. I'll be the first one to tell you that. I will glean from other men that have gleaned things from the Word of God. But you want to have the light turned on, the best place to do it is just by reading the Bible for yourself. There's nothing like reading it for yourself that God gives you something. But you've got to progress from being quickened to being taught to being made to understand. 2 Corinthians 4:3 says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. God is able to blind the eyes of those that do not believe. And when we witness to somebody, we're praying that God would open their eyes. We fulfill our responsibility. We give them an invitation to church. We witness to them. But we're dependent on God to do the work that only He can do. We can reach the ears. We can't reach the heart. So we do the best we can from the Word of God to do that. God has to open it. The same thing is true. You can read the Bible from cover to cover, but unless God opens your eyes to something, it'll just be rudimentary. It'll just be dry. When somebody says, well, I read the Bible and I don't get anything out of it, you're not slamming the Bible when you say that. Somebody says, well, I read the Bible once and I just didn't get anything out of it. Well, that's a confession of your spiritual condition. That's not a criticism of the Bible itself, because we know what's in there. And so we find him saying, make me. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You know this verse. You know, we know that Christians ought not be haughty. Pride is a sin. We're not to put our nose up in the air, but you have to understand we are God's children. And God treats us differently than He treats the devil's children. And He will show us things that He will not show lost people. And He will show the faithful Christian things He does not show the less faithful Christian. God just operates that way. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, you know the verse. Look what it says down in verse number 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they is talking about the things of the Spirit of God, because they are spiritually discerned. In other words, the truths of God, the things of the Spirit of God, God will not reveal them to the natural man, verse number 14. But verse 15, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. See, the more you get the Word of God in you, and you are quickened, and you are taught, and you're made to understand, you're going to understand things that other people just don't understand. You're going to see things from the Bible that other people just are not getting. And that comes from the spiritual progression of how important we make the Word of God in our life. There's no substitute for the Bible. You can put the Bible down for a day or for 2 days, for 3 days, and think nobody's going to notice. Believe me, it makes a difference in our spiritual life and in our spiritual temperature. And we can try to cover it up all we want to. But David said, make me to understand the way of thy precepts. Then notice what he says in verse number 28. My soul longeth, or my soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen me according to thy word. Now the word thou again is in there, but just underline, strengthen me. Once we've been quickened and taught and made to understand, then the Bible begins to strengthen us. There are too many weak Christians. Spiritual wimpiness is not a biblical characteristic. And again, we live in a day, and folks, let's hope that we are the exception to that rule. We live in a day where people go to church and get a 4 to 7 minute sermon, and then hear a bunch of loud and wild music, and they come out just as spiritually empty as they went in, if not even emptier, because when they had the opportunity to get something of substance, they got absolutely nothing. And we live in a world today where people are just non-judgmental. We just read 1 Corinthians 2, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things. We live in a world where people do not make judgments. They do not make determinations on spiritual things. And we live in a day of spiritual wimpiness. And David said, strengthen thou me according to thy word. We need some spiritual Arnold Schwarzeneggers. Spiritual. I said spiritual. We need some spiritual Arnold Schwarzeneggers. That might not be the good name to use right now, but you know what I mean. We need a P90X. If you know what that is, that's advertised. We need a P90X in our spiritual life. I remember one time back when I was in the service, we had a little guy that would go down and work out every day, and he'd lift weights. And he'd be in the weight room, and he'd go over there and sit down at the weight room, and while everybody else was working out, I wasn't much on the weight kind of stuff. But we'd be working out or doing something in there. We'd hear the big guys would be over there. They're putting those, you know, all that weight up. And you turn and look, and boy, that guy's just putting all kinds of weight up there. And then all of a sudden, you're out there working out, doing sit-ups or something, and all of a sudden you hear this. And you turn and look. And I probably didn't sound that bad, but I turn and look. And here's this little guy putting up his 80 pounds, 90 pounds. I don't know what he's present, but he put up that little bit of weight up there, and everybody turned to look when they heard that, and then he got up and he walked like this, and he'd walk around the room like that for a little while. You know, there's a lot of Christians doing the same thing, making a lot of noise, doing a lot of show, but there's no substance to it. There's nothing behind it. David said, quicken me according to your word. Teach me thy statutes. Make me to understand thy precepts. Strengthen thou me according to thy word. We don't want our bodies to be as weak as an infant physically. We ought not want to be that weak spiritually either. And the thing we do to not do that is we take our vitamin W. That is the word of God. We take it daily. We take it on a regular basis. We take it all that we can so that we can be strengthened according to the word. Being strengthened by the Bible will keep you from a lot of pitfalls in this life. When you're weak physically, you're susceptible to all the illnesses that go around. When your immune system is down, bad things can happen. When we don't spiritually put the Word of God in every day, spiritually, bad things can happen. Doesn't mean our lives are going to fall apart. Doesn't mean we're going to get hit by a train or a truck. It just means we're not going to have spiritual victory in our life because it comes from being strengthened by the Word. Quicken me, teach me, make me, strengthen me. Verse 29. Remove from me. I've got the two words remove me underlined. Remove from me the way of lying. Oh, now we're talking about spiritual growth. Now we're getting somewhere. Again, we're not starting with that. We're starting with being quickened and taught and made to understand and strengthened. And now we can have some victory over small things. We're not talking about adultery. We're not talking about murder. We're not talking about robbing a bank. We're talking about lying. Now, I know I'm looking at a bunch of folks that have no problem with that whatsoever. Never crosses your mind. Little white lies, you don't even know what they are. You've never told one. You know what I know we're all susceptible to? Is untruth. Whether it's lying, whether it's dishonesty, misrepresentation, or even saying things that don't have to be said. And you know how you get victory over that? By more and more and more and more and more of that right there. That's again why you can't fool people. All you got to do is be around people long enough and you'll know whether or not the Bible is part of their daily diet or not. By their conversation. By their heart. It's not what goes into a man that defiles him. It's what comes out of him. And out of the heart proceed evil things. So So we've got to have that. We've got to have that in us. He said, remove from me. Now, I like this. It's not remove me from the way of lying. Now, try to. I struggle with how to explain this. It's not remove me from the way of lying. It's remove from me the way of lying. He's not moving. Remove me from the way of lying would mean he's in the way of lying. But he's saying remove from me. Take it away from me. Don't take me out of it. Take it away from me. And as we increase in our knowledge of the Word of God and our saturation in the Word of God and our strengthening by the Word of God, God will remove from us temptations. Not take us out of the temptation, but take the temptation away from us. You will realize as you get the Bible in you and in you and in you that all of a sudden you're not going to have struggles with something you used to struggle with. Now, all of us can probably give testimony of that. I know before I got saved, there were things that I struggled with, even as a lost person, that were detrimental to my life and not good. And I thought, I got to get rid of that. And it did not have the capabilities of doing that. But once I got quickened by His Word and strengthened by His Word and made to understand His Word, all of a sudden those things at one time were a great temptation. All of a sudden you say, wow, that didn't even bother me anymore. Now, you can't get cocky. You got to be careful, you know, take heed. But at the same time, you can realize that God has done something because of His Word. He said, remove from me the way of lying. Somebody has said it this way, and I know you've heard the phrase, this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. Don't read your Bible. Sin will strangle you. Don't read your Bible. It'll start down at the ankles and wrap itself there, then get itself to the knees, then to the waist, then to the chest, and then take you completely under. Ignore the Bible. But stay in your Bible every day and watch what happens. It's something a psychologist or psychiatrist couldn't explain to you because it's supernatural. And David said, remove from me. In Psalm 119, verse 105, the Bible says, Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The Bible will guide you in the right direction. And it will hedge you in. Again, there's something the unsaved people say, well, I don't want to be hedged in. Man, Job wished he'd have been hedged in. Because the devil came one day and said to God, he said, yeah, well, take that hedge away and let me touch him. And God said, all right, I'll let you do it. Job would have wanted that hedge back. And when you and I read the Bible, we've got that hedge of protection. We need that to survive spiritually. Remove me. Remove from me the way of lying. Then look at verse 29. Remove from me the way of lying and grant me, there's our next phrase, grant me thy law, and I like this word, graciously. Grant me thy law graciously. You want me to give an illustration? Not me, of course, but somebody might be going down the highway faster than they should be. No, it'd be someone else, not me. They're going down the highway faster than they should be. And all of a sudden you look in the rearview mirror and the blue light's flashing and the guy comes up or the lady comes up and pulls you over. You know what you're asking? Graciously. Grant me thy law graciously. Some of you women might start bawling and crying. Make that happen. But you're wanting them to come up and say, sir or ma'am, I caught you going this side and that path. Really? I didn't know I was going that. Well, I'll just give you a warning that time. You know what that is? That's getting the law granted to you graciously. You know, look at what David said back in Psalm chapter 6. Look at Psalm chapter 6 and verse 1. David said in Psalm verse chapter 6, verse 1. O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. Now, is David saying he doesn't want to be rebuked and he doesn't want to be chastened? No, I believe we know David better than that. He wanted to be rebuked by God when he was doing wrong. He wanted to be chastened by God and kept on the right and narrow way. But all he said is, don't do it in your anger. Don't do it in your hot displeasure. You know what he's saying here in Psalm chapter 119 and verse number 29? He's saying, grant me thy law, but God, please do it graciously. And when God sees our effort at spending time in His Word to be quickened and taught and made to understand and strengthened and removed from temptation, then He will grant us His Word graciously. It's not that He's going to go easy on us, but He's going to go easier. If we're blatantly rebellious against Him, He's going to have to deal with us accordingly. If we're attempting to do right and we mess up and slip up, He deals with us graciously. And David, the psalmist, said, grant me, enforce it, but God, do it graciously. Can I say this is step 6 out of 7? You know what's the matter with Christianity? We want that step first. We want step 6 before quicken and make me and strengthen me. And we want that first. God, go easy on me. God says, no, I put that number 6. You do your work. You spend time in my word. You get strengthened and grounded and obedient and loving it and do all that. And then I'll make sure when the difficult times come, it'll be gracious. And so He says, grant me thy law graciously. There's one more. It's in verse 31. I like the beginning of verse 31. I have stuck unto thy testimonies. We need some Christians that are stuck to the book. Super glued to the Bible. Not going to be easily removed. You try. Brother Roy was over at the new church, and there was some little plaques on the back of the pews that said, ushers only, and sit there. And he went in there to do something to take those things off. You can go in there by force and just rip them off and take half the back of the pew off with it. They're stuck to that pew. And it's difficult to get it off. That's the way we ought to be with the Word of God. You can't separate it. You can't get us apart from the Word. It is so ingrained and so much a part of us that we're stuck to it. Then what does He say in verse 32? Put me not to shame. When you and I are stuck to the Word of God, we're not going to be embarrassed. We're not going to be ashamed. If we stick to the book, the Bible says, put me not to shame. Let me not be ashamed. Can I say that's the top level? That's the top step? That the Bible is so part of our life? It's more of a necessity or a necessary part of our life than starting the car each day. It's more a part of our life than grooming ourselves in the morning. Just as much a part of our life as feeding ourselves during the day. When the Word of God is so important to us that it's stuck to us and we're stuck to it. Then He says in verse 32, I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. That's what the Bible will do to you. It'll give you a big heart. I don't mind, by big heart, I don't mean you give away everything. I mean you just got an enlarged heart because the Word of God has filled it so abundantly. In these 8 verses, David is giving us 7 two-word phrases to show us what the Word of God ought to mean to us. And yet so many times we can neglect it for 24 hours, 48 hours, 72 hours, a week at a time. It's our strength. It quickens us. It teaches us. It removes us from temptation. It grants us God's law graciously. And it puts us not to shame. Let's stand together this evening with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.